grace and faith were used on us, not by us.
The gospel of grace.
You are the thing that was in the mind of God.
The gospel of peace.
This plan was put together by God and Jesus before the creation of anything else.
That was Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for Friday, January 12, 2018, broadcasting from the home of redemptionism, where we love every train of thought, visiting our station of freedom. We're coming to you today from the Gospel Revolution studios right here in Eva, Alabama, where we say that a text without a context is a pretext. But right now from Palm Beach Gardens, with more consistent, persistent, repetitive CPR of the gospel, is the president and founder of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. Hello, Mr. Williams.
Hello, Mr. Bartlett. How are you today?
Frustrated as all get out, mate. There's nothing, I mean, when Skype chooses to change its crap around.
Nobody wants to hear this.
And you notice they always you know, just quieten down, just settle, pedal. And they always say after they upgrade you and change all your settings and lose your password, they say, "We're doing this to help you, to improve your experience."
Made your morning, didn't it?
Oh, mate, I'm sorry that it took us so long to get started today, but there you go. How the heck are you, sir?
I'm doing good. But, of course, I didn't have any problem with Skype this morning, so they upgraded yours and didn't upgrade mine. They must really love you more than me, because mine is not upgraded. It's just the same old thing.
They only do it to people they hate. They want to annoy, you know. I don't know. It was a lot easier when we had two cans and a piece of string, you know.
Well, let's go back to that then.
Can you imagine? Oh, Lord. Too funny. Well, now, Michael, I thought we'd give our email bag a miss this week, and we'll pick it up next week. So, family, please keep sending the questions in.
Questions are the lifeblood flowing through the veins of the Gospel Revolution.
But it's been a little slow over the holidays. This is our second PowerCast for the year, and boy, have we got a treat for you today.
We do indeed, and I'm looking forward to this myself. The Gospel Revolution is not only taken on a new vice president, but the person that it is just so unique in just about every way that you can think of, and talented and young. My goodness, don't forget young. Our friend Nardos has been a friend of mine for about a year now, and every time I speak to him, I learn things that are just are really quite amazing. So that's what people are going to hear. We want to introduce Nardos, not just by name, but we really want you to hear what he's got to say, his heart. He's learning the gospel fast as greased lightning. Goodness gracious, you will enjoy this. I have no doubt. Nardos and his wife live in Calgary, Alberta, and Nardos has given us a bigger footprint in Canada, and also back in Vancouver, where I used to go again. We're making plans, or Nardos is making plans for us to make to do more meetings there back in Vancouver in his hometown, and also in Ethiopia and in Lebanon. So everything else that Nardos brings to the table is a whole bunch of talent and abilities and eagerness. Goodness, you talk about somebody eager to do something. Every time I'm on the phone with him, and I think the same is with you, Don, he's always asking for something to do. So,
yes. Yeah, he seems eager, and I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want him to go away thinking, well, there's nothing to do here. So I'm just loading him up with work, mate. And if he ever calls you up and says, listen, that Bartlett's a slave driver, you just say, yes, you've got to bow and scrape and do whatever he says. And
exactly.
Money, money, money. Must be fun.
Yep. So today we will be hearing from Nardos a little later in the show. But right now, mate, we are in the middle of a pledge drive.
We are. I just got started over the weekend, right after our last PowerCast was published. And it's been a lot of fun. Very few phone calls have been made. But Don, if people keep this up, we are going to surpass any pledge drive we've had in recent years. I had one of the gospel revolutionaries call me up the last of December and make a really wonderful contribution. And then, as I told you last week, I was telling him we would add that to the pledge drive. And he said, oh, no, says, but call me back for the pledge drive, too.
Now, family, you need to know that the people we call first are the ones that we really, really like. So if you haven't gotten a call, if you have not received your call from Michael, then what you need to do is bother the heck out of him. Ring his number. Here is his personal a cell phone number. It is
832-318-9339. And once again, 832-318-9339. A nice rhymey number. You can remember that.
Now, I recommend, because Michael is a light sleeper, I recommend you call him, after midnight, before 4 or 5 a.m. Just ring him. And listen, if he answers the phone, says, say, do you want my money or don't you? just say it like that. He loves people who are straight with him.
Exactly. Goodness, we had one of our gospel revolutionaries quadrupled their quarterly donation. One doubled their quarterly contribution to Pledge Drive, and one increased theirs by half. And I've only made just a few phone calls, as I said, so far. I like spreading this out over some time so I can have a lot of good energy for talking with everybody on the phone. And so far, it's just been wonderful. And again, I've heard wonderful stories. I learn more about each and every one of our friends every time that we have a pledge drive. So learn more about their careers and their families and what's going on in their lives. And not only that, and this pledge drive, no different than the last, but somehow even more so, just effusive gratitude. They're really expressing their delight in supporting the ministry and how it's their privilege to get to do this. And I know that we've had that all the way through. Our contributors have always been that way. But boy, this time there's something in the air. I don't know what it is, but people are, like I said, quadrupling their contributions. They're doing all kinds of just really crazy things. And it's going to be reaching our goal of 15,000 this time a whole lot easier. I think we're well, with the track we're on, we will do it.
I'm sure glad they don't all believe that old song that we used to sing in Christianity, Jesus Paid It All.
Yeah. So they will, and hey, if we go double over our goal, that's not going to be a bad thing. So thank you guys.
But you won't get a refund.
Oh, the refund comes many times over in good gospel listening. So that's okay. Where you get your return. And Don, I wanted to tell you this. You know, a lot of times we wonder if people are listening and stuff, but virtually everyone that I talk to, you know, we had some problems with the website being up. No fault of our own.
Well, actually, it was with it being down, and you're right. Yeah, we did have some. Yep.
Yes. Yes, a problem with it not being up, I should have said, since you correct me on everything I say.
Well, listen, Junior.
Yeah. So
hang on. Let me cock the gun.
But the majority of people that I spoke with were asking about the website. That I need my PowerCast. I can't hear my PowerCast. I'm trying to download the PowerCast, and the PowerCast won't work, and I'm behind on the PowerCast, and I need the PowerCast. But we are, well, I say we, it's Don and actually Jeff also is working on trying to get this resolved for us, because it is a third party that is kind of mucking up the works here that we're having to deal with.
Nardos has been helping too, yep.
Oh, I don't doubt it. And we're working toward a resolution for all of this once and for all. But right now, we got to work through it. You guys be patient with us. I promise you, nobody's slacking that on our part that's causing this whatsoever. There's just that's not the case. So, but it was really so great to get to talk to the handful that I've already started with. And like I said, it's just been an absolute delight. I tell you, one of the best things that's happened to me personally in the changes that have taken place in the ministry, especially over the last year, is me doing these phone calls for to our contributors. And it's just been fantastic. I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Religion is like a public swimming pool. Most of the noise comes from the shallow end. Wonderful. I got an email from James Gustafson saying last PowerCast you said that people could help us by listening to old PowerCasts. And yes, James, you can. What I need is to be able to put up some more pithy, fuller reviews on all of our PowerCasts, going back to 2006, actually. But if you email me, what I can do is I can say, look, could you listen to PowerCasts between this date and that date, say one a week for a few weeks, and just write a review and send it to me. And that would be wonderful. That's all, mate. And at the same time, you're getting a good dose of the gospel. Well, Mike, we're going to hear at the end of the pledge drive how all of this went. And it sounds from what you're saying, it sounds like we're going to have a few more executive producers and sponsors than we've had before. So, family, remember, it's your responsibility to let us know that we need to help you celebrate your promotion to executive producer or sponsor, and we will get your wonderful little cheap Chinese presented certificates in gold lame spray paint can painted, and we'll get you out your certificate.
I thought I was on with Elmer Fudd there for a minute.
Are you laughing at me, mister?
I am indeed.
Oh,
not besides you. I'm laughing right at you. So.
Yeah. Most people, they give you curry to your face, and they say nice things behind your back. I just don't know where you are in that mix, mate. Okay. This year we're going to be we're going to have four pledge drives. This is the first of four. We're going to have at least two conferences, possibly three. We're planning on two Skype conferences. The first one will be with our friends over in Kingaroy, Queensland, Australia. And we've got two new books coming out, one on Galatians, one on Hebrews. We will be keeping you up to date a little bit more with when they will be available, and they'll be staggered across the year. Victor Brennan, could you email me and let me know when you expect these books to be available for final editing and publishing? We would love to hear that.
Hi, I am Marcel Roos, coming to you from Woudsend in Holland, where I maintain the Gospel Revolution radio servers. If you need a fast injection of the Gospel CPR, that is the consistent, persistent, and repetitive joy of the Gospel, then tune in to the Gospel Revolution radio, playing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To listen, go to gospelrevolution.com and under audio, At the top of the page, simply click on GR Radio 24/7.
The reason we feel entirely free to say what we think on this show is because we don't have to answer to advertisers. And so, can you imagine if we were sponsored by the Anglican Conference of North America or if... Oh, boy. So we use a value-for-value model. If you've received value from our ministry, then we're asking you to consider donating towards our combined success. That would be your success and ours as we learn the gospel together. You could do that one way by calling this number.
832-318-9339.
And demanding to know why we have not contacted you for a... this pledge drive. That would be one way. This ministry has been an uninterrupted success story for over a quarter of a century because of one and only one reason: you and your passion for the gospel, you and your donations. You know, they say money talks and BS walks. Well, I tell you what, this gospel of grace and this gospel of peace has gone out for over 25 years now, the oldest grace-based message on the web, solely because people cared. And we just want to say thank you for caring. Mm-hmm. It costs us time, cash, and energy to research, produce, and maintain this earliest grace-based web presence with website costs, a searchable public database complete with 3,000 hours of free material, 24/7 radio thanks to Marcel Roos in the Netherlands, podcasts, seminar recordings, videos, social media groups, forums, newsletters, and we've only just begun. But it's all there just for you. www.gospelrevolution.com. www.gospelrevolution.com. Come visit us. And while you're there, have a look at the new videos on perfection, I think. And they're going up this week, Michael. Mm. They've just gone up on YouTube. And some people have been getting a sneak preview. But get up there and have a look at the perfection series of videos. This is a third series of videos we've had in 3 months. Mm-hmm. So we're moving these rascals out and we're going to have more, but it all depends on your feedback. You tell us what you think. Are we doing a good job with this? Are there other topics you'd like us to cover? What have these videos meant to you?
That's another reoccurring comment that I've had is about the videos. People really enjoying those, remarking how professional they come across and the clarity. People appreciate it when we're able to produce something like that. And we owe all of that to Randy French, who's the executive producer of all of these videos. Everything that you hear on there that sounds good, not everything looks good because that's me, but everything that you've got to be appreciative of about these videos, that all goes to Randy French. You'll see his name and the name of his production company come up on these videos. And we just want to send out a big thank you to Randy French. His years and years of dedication to this ministry after burning all of my material. Sometimes it's a little peculiar route to get to the gospel, and sometimes you've got to burn everything I've done to listen to it all.
And calling you names.
Yeah, really.
Which he tells me he doesn't want to be reminded of.
I know.
Randy, too late, buddy.
Yeah, we got you. So we don't want to delay the true excitement about this particular PowerCast, and that's our first true introduction of the new vice president of Mike Williams Ministries. And now I would like to introduce you to Nardos Kabidi from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Well, thanks, Mike, for giving me this great position. I'm still shocked by it. But it is a great honor to be able to work with you guys, especially to get to know you guys and to get to know you, Mike, in person. And you have been a great encouragement. And thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Nardos Kabidi. Tell me, what is the Nardos Kabidi story?
Well, to put it in short, I'm from Ethiopia. I came to Canada when I was 13. Grew up in Vancouver. I grew up in a Christian home. My dad is a Baptist, was a Baptist minister. So all my life I've been speaking Christianese. And I felt that, you know, I should serve the Lord. And I had this burden in me saying that, you know, I want to serve and I want to be like my dad, be a minister and a pastor. So I went to Bible college and graduated from Bible college, and then I started serving the Lord since 2000 and until now. Recently, I had awakening, and here I am now, finding myself in a new journey.
So you were born in Ethiopia?
Yes.
You were born in Ethiopia, in a small, struggling village with one water well. And is it like we see in pictures? Is that what it's like, mate?
Not really. It is. It's. I grew up in the capital, Addis Ababa. It's a huge city. It is a very developed city that I grew up in.
I was a little boy in Holland Park, 19 Raff Avenue, Holland Park, Brisbane, Queensland, Australia, trying to pass my geography examinations. And I was learning all about Addis Ababa. And these names that meant nothing to me. I mean, I could care less about those places. And now, what do you know? So, you were born in Ethiopia. How old were you when you came to Canada?
I was 13 years old when I came to Canada.
You still have a little bit of an accent. You speak North American with an accent.
Yes, I do have a little bit of accent. I do have lots of accent, actually, but...
Yes, but that means you speak, what language do you speak?
I speak Amharic.
Amharic. So I imagine you speak that without any accent.
Yes.
You spoke Amharic at home, I imagine.
Yes.
So you came when you were 13. You must have come with your family, did you?
Yes. My dad had to leave to Nigeria for a while, and then because... it was a communist party back then, and because he was a church planter in his days, he planted more than 50 churches. And
In Ethiopia?
In Ethiopia, and the church had to go through underground, and so there was so many persecution back then, so he had to flee the country with my mom, and finally they found sponsorship to come to Canada, and finally after 2 years, then they sponsored us, me and my older sister.
Now, the last president of Ethiopia with whom I'm familiar was Haile Selassie. I think his title was the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, wasn't it?
Yes.
Was that a bit of a put-on or what?
Absolutely. I mean, he was self-proclaimed the Lion of Judah, you know. So, yeah.
Mind you, Ethiopia has had a very fascinating history intertwined with Israel, hasn't it?
Absolutely. It has a rich, rich stories, and it goes all the way to Queen of Sheba and even Moses, yes.
What did Moses have to do with Ethiopia?
Well, he found Ethiopian and got in love with and got married.
Oh, okay, mate, a woman will always do it for a man, won't it?
Oh, here you go.
Did it for me. A woman brought me to America, mate, so there you go. So there was Queen of Sheba and Solomon, and there are some stories about a son they may have had together. Now, I understand that Israel did a pretty substantial airlift of Ethiopians back to Israel, whom they had DNA tested as having Israeli DNA. Is that right?
Yes. There was a number of people, a community, a group in certain part of Ethiopia who claimed that they were Jewish. They spoke and embraced the culture, Judaism as well. And finally, in the 70s, I believe, and in the mid-80s, Israeli government repatriated them.
If you were going to rank African nations, where would Ethiopia be? Is it near the top? Is it near the bottom? Is it where would it be?
Ethiopia is located in the East Africa and close to a neighboring country of Kenya and Somalia.
That'd be North Somalia?
Yes.
Nowadays? And how about economically?
Economically, you know, I mean, the current government is saying that, you know, the Ethiopian, you know, economy is taking off. You know, it's a debate always because here in the West, we hear different, always two stories.
Is it still communist?
It's not a communist. It's a democratic, you know, government.
Is it a stable democratic government?
It's not stable right now. They're going through, you know, changes, and they wanted to overthrow this government and bring in a new one. But, you know, right now there is no a strong opposition party. So that is the most that's a huge problem there.
There's a vacuum.
Yes.
Okay. So you're 13, you come to Canada, and you are now a Canadian citizen?
Yes, I became Canadian citizen in 1994. And since then, yes.
How old are you, Nardos?
That's a good question to ask. This year I just turned 40.
40. My word. Most of our gospel revolutionaries are going to say, what are we going to do with such a young leader? So you came to Canada. What did your dad do? How did he support the family?
Well, you know, after he came to Canada, he planted a church in Vancouver.
For Ethiopian folks?
Uh-huh. Yes, and he started working with Pentecostal churches alongside as well.
Now, when you say that, I gather he was not always Pentecostal in flavor, but was he always charismatic in flavor?
Yes.
So even as a Baptist, he swung from chandeliers and he was one of those thigh-slapping charismatics? Or was he one of the quieter ones that spoke in tongues under his breath?
Oh, he was one of the loudest ones.
Oh, okay. So how did and he never had a problem resolving the what sometimes is conflicts between the two flavors?
Yeah, in Ethiopia, you know, charismatic and, you know, Pentecostal movement was, taking off in his days, so it was a hot cake back then. So
okay,
there was no problem because people are just kind of departing from, you know, Baptist background and coming to Pentecostals and charismatic movement,
which in America we would probably call Word of Faith, but in Australia we call it Pentecostal too. We don't know what Word of Faith is. We know what Pentecostal is, and it. And the holy rollers that you'd better avoid because you might get caught up in their deception.
Wow.
Is what I was told.
So there's no strong background of faith movement in Australia?
Oh, very strong, yes. There is one of the largest denominations in Australia. It's called Christian Outreach Centre, and they have branched out into North America. But they're simply AOG on steroids, I would say. Assemblies of God on steroids, I'd say.
Wow.
And as if you could be on steroids. But I have seen some pretty tame Assembly of God folks, but there you go. Now, what did your dad do beside pastoring? Did he do anything else when he came to Canada?
No, actually. He did pastoring full-time. And he was traveling minister as well in States because he was famous back home. He had a mega church in Ethiopia.
How many people make a mega church in Ethiopia?
Well, back then, it was close to 5,000.
Golly.
And one of the biggest church that he ministered to. So he was quite famous. Even, he was one of the, you know, considered one of the pioneers as well.
And his name?
His name is Kabede Degu.
Kabeda Degu.
Yes.
You don't have, obviously, you don't have first and last names like we do.
No.
Where you inherit your father's name. Yeah. And you attended his church. I suppose you had no choice. You attended his church for how long?
I attended his church all the way to until I finished my high school, and but you know, and then after that he moved to Ethiopia because our mom passed away in 1992 with brain tumor.
Mm.
So he had to, you know, he got married with lovely English lady. And they moved back to Ethiopia as a missionary.
So when you say lovely English lady, you are saying that she comes from England?
Yes.
Okay. And let me touch on what must be a painful wound for you. Your dad was Word of Faith. Did the death of his wife to a brain tumor, how did he resolve, how did he rationalize that in his mind? And the reason I'm asking this family is because Word of Faith folks characteristically believe that sickness, all sickness can be healed, and it's it becomes a little bit problematic sometimes when that doesn't occur. Is that the way it was for your dad?
Yes, he had a great hope for her to be healed, and you know, he prayed, a number of his friends prayed for her. And, yeah, it was very hard, very tough on him.
How did he rationalize away that?
Well, you know, my dad is always a quiet person when it comes to, you know, handling, you know, this kind of situation. So, you know, I kind of gather that he is inside, he was fighting something, you know?
Yeah, this, it seems to me, Nardos, that it doesn't matter what religion you belong to, there seem to be always some speed bumps and wrinkles which cause us to wonder very deeply. And most of those things that make us wonder very deeply are when we have a life crisis. So how old were you when your dad went back to Ethiopia?
I was 17, 18, yes.
What did you do then, friend?
Oh, I, you know, I kind of, right after high school, then I just started working, just doing some, you know, different stuff. But still, you know, I had, and, you know, I missed my mom because we were very close. And, you know, for me, it was just a turn off, honestly speaking, because I remember even going into the hospital and I said, why do you have to take her at this moment?
So you actually believed God was taking her?
Oh, absolutely. And I said, why? Uh-huh. You know, why? Because, and I was just, I got mad at God and, you know, I, and that young age, I turned to, you know, party life and, you know, just alcohol and so on and so forth. But, you know, I just couldn't find the answer.
So you went outside the church and enjoyed yourself?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, who can blame you? What, I mean, at that, I'm not trying to be funny there, but who could blame you? You may as well, if the options you had weren't working, and of course, Every young person, I think, tends to want to find their own place in the world, and to do that, some element of or some degree of experimentation is probably necessary. Now, any siblings?
I've got my older brother,
mm-hmm.
and an older sister, and myself. That's it.
And you're all in Canada?
Yes.
How old were you when you got married?
26. I was 26 and fallen in love and yeah.
And was your wife in the church or did you find her while you were vacationing out in the world, so to speak?
You know, funny thing to say, you know, right after the Bible college, I moved from Vancouver to Toronto. I was talking to my dad back then. He was in Ethiopia and he says, you know, you're just out from Bible college. Why don't you come and, you know, be a youth pastor in my church and help me out. So I said, what the heck, you know, I got nothing to lose. So why not go to Ethiopia, enjoy, and, you know, just help out my dad. So I went to Ethiopia in 2002 and met my wife there. I stayed there for six months. And she made me wait for 2 years. And in 2004, we got married.
So your dad went back to Ethiopia with a lovely English wife, and you came back to Canada with a lovely Ethiopian wife, did you?
Here you go.
Okay. All right. Now, okay, so we've done a quick flit from partying and living the high life to now you're in Bible college. What happened to bring you back to Bible college?
To bring me back to Bible college?
Yeah. What happened to make Bible college look like a viable option to the high life?
Well, I somehow, I thought I found myself, and I kind of said, you know what, this is not God's fault. She's going through some pain in her life and sickness, and she couldn't, you know, and I kind of said, after a few years, I got healed.
Healed of what?
Healed of, you know, so many questions I had and, you know, so many frustrations towards God.
Uh-huh.
I think my age is kicking in as well. So I said, you know what, I have to really, change my life around. So that's when I decided to go to the Bible college.
What Bible college did you go to, Nardos?
I went to Life Bible College, Four Squares.
Four Square, that is, okay. Was that in Vancouver, Toronto?
Oh, that's in Surrey. It's in the BC.
British Columbia, okay. Yeah. So now you are out of Bible college, you are back in Ethiopia, you start casting your eyes about for a wife, find one, bring her back. What happened then?
Well, we had kids, and then, I thought God was giving me a vision to start a ministry here in Calgary. So I planted a church here in Calgary with my wife. But before that, there was a small ministry I used to lead in 2007 and 8. And that was reaching out to the homeless. I called it Agape Heart to Heart Ministry. And what we do is, me and my wife and a couple of other people, we used to make coffee for 100, 200 homeless people, make sandwich, cookies and all that stuff. And we used to just go out to, in downtown Calgary and give them coffee, food, and just kind of share it with them. And when it comes to Thanksgiving and Christmas, we used to have a dinner for them and give them gifts and kind of just say, you know what, you're not alone in this holiday. So that ministry ran for about 2 years. And then after that, I said, you know what, God is calling me to plant a church here in Calgary. So I planted a church with the help of the Baptist in Calgary.
What kind of church was it?
It was an Ethiopian congregation.
Did you have chandeliers for them to swing from?
Yes.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah. Well, I think you've got everything you needed. I mean, Bibles are optional, but chandeliers, I think, are a necessity, aren't they? So is this a charismatic Baptist church?
Well, we made it more like charismatic Baptist church, yes. More Baptist Pentecostal church, yes.
Well, that's a daring church if it calls itself that. Yeah, the two biggest churches in Australia, Baptist churches, are both charismatic. And the Baptist Union, it's called in Australia. It's not the Southern Baptist Convention. It's a different But it's, I mean, it's very similar, very, very similar. And the Baptist Union can't get rid of these two churches because they bring in more money than half of all the other churches put together. So,
wow.
Yeah. So now you have started a church. When was that, mate?
That was in 2010.
That's 7 years ago.
Yes.
And is it the same church you recently resigned from?
Yes.
Okay. Why did you resign from it?
Oh, well, because of my new discovery and my new lifestyle right now, I'm set free from Christianity. And because of that, there is no reason for me to stick around and preach what I don't believe in.
Was that a hard decision?
It was a very hard decision because all I thought was that, you know, I would just continue on being a pastor and really grow this church. But something that happened to me, you know, awesome things happened to me. And I started drifting away from Christian views. And I said to myself, you know what, there is no point for me right now. But it was a very, very hard decision.
What did you tell the senior pastor? Did you tell him why you left?
Right. Well, what I did kind of tell him is that it is time for me to leave and give it to another person. And I have found another, you know, person who can take my position away. I was not in freedom to speak about my new life because I just don't want them to attack this new group and kind of, you know, bring about any kind of persecution. So I just said, you know what, I have to leave.
You left your pay packet as well, I imagine.
Yes.
In my estimation, that's unusual. There is a saying that we have here, and that is that when your pay packet depends on you being heard to say the right things, you can't speak the truth.
Yes, that's true. But you see, on my part, one of the things, that is absolutely true what you said.
You've told your dad, I guess.
We have discussed, and I know the last time he was here visiting us, celebrating his 75th birthday, I told him that I'm leaving and I'm looking for a replacement.
What did he say?
Well, you know, he laughed because he knew that the struggle and the pain that he went through as a pastor. So, but even though I haven't discussed to him what happened to me in general, you know, we have kind of touched up on that, you know, here and there. But I told him definitely that I was looking for, you know, someone who can replace me.
What is your wife's name?
My wife's name is Eden, the Eden Garden.
Oh, as in the Garden of Eden?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So you left the higher life, went to Bible college and married in, and found your Garden of Eden.
That's it.
Now, you told a fascinating story at the last Calgary convention. And it had to do with, I think, why you felt somewhat disillusioned with the Pentecostal line of doctrine or the word of faith, a belief structure, if you like. Would you share that with us?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, 2016, was a very tough year for us. That we lost two sons. One of them was in January, and then the other one was in the middle of November.
How old were they?
These were both miscarriages. My wife carried them almost to 6 months.
What happened?
Well, complications. The first one, she fell sick and she had to rush to the hospital, and all of a sudden, just the baby discharged. And then the second one, her water broke early, and she was told by the doctors that to stay, you know, in bed for a number of days. And that was very hard, and because of that, and you know, I said, you know, let's pray, intercede, and I even asked the church to pray with us, and even to fast on our behalf, and we did everything, you know, but didn't turn out what we have expected. So after, you know, the doctor said, you know, especially with the last one, that, you know, she had to be in bed, and, you know, I had such a hope, and I said, you know what, honey, everything's going to be okay. You know, we're going to be praying. And, you know, every night I started praying, laying, you know, my hands on her tummy, praying and confessing. In fact, I said, you know, here's a bright idea. I told her, why don't we just, take communion, you know, every night. And my hope grew, and I, you know, I said, you know, this, you know, this child's going to be born, you know. And then I started confessing and, you know, binding and loosing, and she was also involved, and she had high hope.
We have such a mixed group of gospel revolutionaries. If you're not used to the Pentecostal system of thinking, in Pentecostalia or in Charismaniac, I'm sorry, did I say that out loud?
Yeah.
In Pentecostal circles, binding and loosing means you're binding Satan from having any further input, and you are loosing healing, or you're loosing maybe somebody from their bonds or their wounds or their problems. And so that's just a language that we used to use in the Pentecostal movement.
Yes. So, you know, we were so engaged in that. And so finally, the moment arrived where we had to take her to the hospital for the last time. And right then, four doctors came and, you know, they said, you're going to lose your daughter because, you know, her water is broke. This is not the time. She's not even 6 months yet. And I said, you know what, I'm a man of God. I'm a pastor. You know, this is not going to happen to our family. You know, we're going to stand up on the word of God. You know, they just looked at us funny.
Wow. Well, yeah, wow. So you have built your hopes up. You've taken communion every day. You've built your wife's hopes up. You've said, darling, this is not going to be. And you now are non-plussing several doctors. What happened then?
Well, the four doctors turned into seven, eight of them. And with one of them having experience of, you know, losing a child, and just, you know, they started really talking to us. We persisted. We said, no, you know, God's going to give us this child. We prayed about it. We have faith. And then after 4 days being in the hospital, the delivery came and the baby didn't make it.
How did you feel then?
I was just so broken. I can't even describe that feeling. It was just so broken because of everything. You know, I prayed, I fasted, and we stand up on God's word. You know, every dedication that I had, you know, came before my eyes. Everything that I have proclaimed King, you know, and everything that I said to my wife, everything I said to the doctor, everything, it was just...
It must have been like your mother all over again.
Exactly. And I was just so crushed.
Mm.
I had to be strong for my wife. I didn't cry. She was just crying, and you know, it was so painful for her.
Mm.
But I had to leave, and I had to go to. I remember I had to go to, get her mom and her relatives. The good thing is we were surrounded by, her siblings and her mom.
Loving family.
Loving family, dedicated family as well. So when I left, I was crossing, when I was going to my home, there was a bridge that I had to cross, and I felt like driving and kind of, you know, going through that bridge.
You felt like driving across the side of it?
Yes.
Yes.
And that was just so painful.
What effect did this have on Eden, your wife?
Yes, it has impacted her life. I was afraid that she would be in great depression, but luckily she came out very strong.
How long ago was this, Nardos?
That was 2016, November.
Oh my gosh, not even, just barely a year ago.
Yes. And the funny thing is, John, 4 years or, yeah, 4 years ago, there was a family who had a miscarriage came and for counseling, and I counseled them in my office, you know, giving them that have hope and faith and so on and so forth. And they were crying, trying to, you know, I was just telling them, speaking Christianese. But right in the midst of my circumstance and going through that meeting that I had and everything that I said to them came to my mind, and I was just so sorry.
Wow. So that was just over a year ago. How many other children do you have, Nardos?
I have twin boys, Joshua and Caleb, and they are 9 years old.
What's the last year been like for you all?
The last year for them?
What's the last year been like for all of you?
Well, the last year, 2017, you mean?
Yes, sir.
It's been,
since this happened.
It's, well, at first, you know, the kids, they were asking us a lot of questions. It was very hard. But 2017, I would say it was a success year.
What made it a success year?
Because, you know what, we moved away from all religion activities. We moved away from all the hype that we were used to. And really, really, truly found ourselves.
Found yourselves?
Yes.
Wow. Now, how did you meet Mike Williams?
Mike Williams, well, you know, 2015, I was visiting a friend and driving by, and, I was kind of, you know, used to listening Christian radio. And I heard advertisement saying that there will be Grace Conference coming in Calgary. And I said, this is strange because I have never heard anything, this kind of advertisement in Shine FM. So, and then right there they put James' phone number and the person, you know, contact and everything. So I called him right away and I said, what's going on? You know, what kind of meeting is this? So he told me the date, and I said,
Who did you speak to?
James.
James Gustafson.
Yes. Nice guy. Nice German.
I wouldn't say that to him if I were you.
I
don't know if he's German or not. It sounds to me like Norwegian, but...
No. I said a nice gentleman.
Oh, a nice gentleman. He can be sometimes.
He can be sometimes.
Okay, and what happened then, buddy?
So I'm, you know, and then he told me the date, and so I, you know, I went to that meeting, and the first meeting, I, you know, I before that though, I convinced my wife, and I said, this is Grace, meet, you know, Grace wrote, you know, a meeting, we have to go, I have to take you, and she says, okay, whatever, you know,
whatever.
She just follows whatever I do. She follows, so she's. So, we went to the conference, and when we, you know, we came in. You were speaking that time. Mike was about to. He was supposedly speaking in the afternoon, but we came in the morning session. The morning session. And I sat through it, and I was very blessed by your teaching. And before I walk out, Victor introduces himself, and he says, you know, can I bless you with this CD? And he gives us Mike Williams' teaching on Galatians.
Oh, man. If he gave you Galatians, you probably never recovered.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And you know, I came home, I started listening to it, and then you know, that CD alone, I heard it over maybe 15 times.
Wow.
Because I taught so many times, you know, Galatians in my church, and I have never I have missed so many things that I have said that Mike mentioned.
Wow.
And I was so touched by his message. And so I said, you know what, I have to go next time when you guys are, you know, in town again. So I came back again 2016.
What did you hear that time?
2016, right in the midst of what I was just going through, Mike was sharing about personal faith, how we have been delivered by from personal faith, and faith and hope have been accomplished in Christ Jesus, and that was a new thing for me. I'm so, like, I was just so blown by what he said.
Now, when you say so blown, I want you to remind our older folks, because some of us have been in this for long enough now that we almost forget what it felt like to be arrested by the audacity of the gospel. When you say blown away, tell us more.
Well, you know, I have always been taught, and even, you know, taught so many times from the pulpit that, you know, you got to have personal faith. You know, Hebrew chapter 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is, you know, and so you got to have faith. I grew up in that, and I, you know, growing up in the church, even, you know, and then hearing that personal faith doesn't exist, but, you know, that we have been delivered from personal faith. It is like somebody is like punching you right in the face and being knocked out.
How long did it take you to recover?
That's a good one, because, you know, here I am, you know, right after the meeting as well, you know, still going through that. And I came home and I started feeling sick. I went to, I literally went to my, you know, my, restroom, and I just started throwing up, and I got so sick because, you know, for so many days and for so many years I preached that have faith. Now I am hit with this revelation that, you know, we have been delivered from personal faith. That was just mind-blowing. So not only that, you know, I have been really set free from personal faith. You know, I now view Hebrew 11 as Christ is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. He is the substance, and he's also the evidence And the other thing that I was so touched by Mike's teaching was that we have been set free from the will of God, or trying to fulfill the will of God, because the will of God has been fulfilled by one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And when I heard that, I was just so mind, I was just blown again, because all my life trying to do the will of God was number one priority in my life and in my ministry. And here this man is, you know, expanding, and he's saying that nobody can do the will of God except Jesus Christ, and he has fulfilled it up on the cross. It was just, I said, wow.
How did that impact you? For example, how did trying to live by the will of God, I mean, it must have been okay, surely. It can't have been hard, can it?
Well, it was, you know, it gets easier and it gets harder, because, you know, when you are too spiritual, when you fast and pray, you feel like somehow, you know, this feeling, you know, you feel like you are doing and you are in the midst of God's will.
Because praying and fasting is certainly God's will, so the outcome must also be God's will. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
And then at times, if you don't pray, and you know, if you don't fast, and then somehow then you're struggling, which direction should I go? You know, what kind of decisions should I make? And it gets very hard. And sometimes, God, show me your way. In Romans, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may know what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Oh God, and you know, and you keep on asking, oh God, you know, tell me that perfect will. Tell me, you know, your will, you know, for my life, for my ministry. And he's silent most of the time. You know, he's silent, and you wonder, well, you know what? The reason why he's silent is because I am out of the will of God, and he's mad at me, or he's not approve of me.
And if you get into that mindset where you plead God for insight as to the will of God, if you miss it, you must be in the imperfect will of God, or maybe in the will of Satan, or in the will of, but anything but in the will of perfect will of God.
That's it.
Oh my gosh.
That's it. And, you know, that's what your mind is racing to, you know. And somehow, and you'll try to patch it up by confessing and confessions and all that stuff too. And you say, well, okay, knowingly, unknowingly committed sin that I have committed, you know, please forgive me, wash me by the blood of Jesus from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. And, you know, we do that more often. And I used to do that as well. And this teaching has absolutely, you know, set me free. Praise God, I don't have to do anything. It has been accomplished by him. That spoke a great volume in my life, and it brought a lot of freedom and rest.
What is that level of anxiety actually like? What's it like to live with that level of anxiety, Nardos?
Well, to put it, you know, you don't feel, you've living with an anxiety means you don't have any confidence. You don't have any confidence in God. I want to underline this. You don't say it to anyone else. You don't say it to your wife. You don't say it to your congregation. You don't say it, but somehow you're losing that confidence. And for me, serving, losing confidence, you know, it's absolutely no.
Are you saying that it makes you live a lie?
Yes, absolutely true. Because a friend of mine, here's a friend of mine once said, you scratch anyone's personal faith and what comes out is unbelief.
Say that again.
He says, you scratch you know, anyone's personal faith. And when you scratch it, what comes out is unbelief. And in the same token, you know, what I just described is that it would lead you to live a fearful life and double standard of life, of a lie.
When you speak about that, it reminds me of the verse that instructs us not to cast away our confidence. But what I'm hearing you say is, oh, heck, you can't but lose your confidence. There's nothing else you can do.
Absolutely.
Now, Nardos, you are our new vice president of God, the gospel of Mike Williams Ministries.
Yes.
Well, oh, I'm glad I got that right. Maybe I should have called Mike God. I don't know. I might not have a job next week. Hey, what's your vision for the gospel revolution?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that. And like I said before, it is a great honor to be the vice president. And
I don't know if you realize it, but that means you're the president of Vice. I just hope you get that.
Yes, I'm slowly getting that.
We expect you to lead us into all manner of vice.
There you go. And my vision is to create a platform for a gospel revolutionists all over the world to be able to encourage them to share the powerful stories. Don, there are so many of them out there who came out of Christianity, who came out of self-righteousness, just like me, who came out of religion, but I have never shared their powerful testimonies to others for whatever reasons. I want to say that it is time you stop being quiet. It is time you break your silence and come and share what you have, what you have just experienced. You know, there is a saying, Don, that the world suffers a lot, not because of the violence of bad people, but because of the silence of a good people. So has gospel revolution break their silence and share their amazing stories, it will, you know, explode like a bomb and create uncontrollable dominoes effect upon countless of hearers. Should I continue?
Go for it.
So,
and don't hold back.
Mahatma Gandhi once said, many people, especially ignorant people, want to push you for speaking the truth, for being correct, for being you. He says, never apologize for being correct or for being years ahead of your time. If you are right and you know it, speak your mind. Speak your mind. Even if you are a minority of one, the truth is still the truth. So my goal is to create a platform where everyone, just like me, has a powerful stories, and I want them to share it.
And how are we going to create that, Nardos?
Well, you cannot create a platform without a relationship. And so the first thing is creating a lasting relationship. We want to say you are not alone in your new journey. And that's what you guys did for me. You and Mike, came beside me. Not only just present me with the revelation of the gospel and left me by myself, but you are there with me and you created a lasting relationship. And, you know, I want to take time and say thank you for being there. And thank you for your friendship. You know, that means a lot. So you cannot create any kind of platform without a lasting relationship. So number one, creating that relationship. And, you know, if we have to, you know, and gospelrevolution.com, you know, we can create another page that says, let us connect. Let us hear from you. You might be a pastor. You might be, you know, just any normal person. We want to hear from you. You have a powerful story. And second thing, that after we have built that relationship and grow together, now let us move on to how we can tell our stories to the world. Again, not only creating, let us, you know, connect page, but also we can create in gospelrevolution.com, let us share your stories page also, so that we can share it via video or audio, or you know, some of you are wonderful writers, and we want to encourage you to write and speak out your stories. That is, in a nutshell, that is my vision.
I think it's a wonderful vision. Anything I have to say after that really is superfluous.
Oh, please add on something.
I mean that. I think anything I say to add to that is superfluous. I'm serious. Nardos, I ask this question of many people, and the reactions I get are so varied. I remember when Billy Thompson sat in my office, Tennessee, and I asked Billy, I interviewed Billy and Jackie Barnard at the same time, and I asked Billy this question, and her eyes are filled up with tears. And if you asked me that question, mine would have too. Here is a question. What would you like to say if you could say something to the Nardos of 10 or 20 years ago? What is it you would say to the younger Nardos?
Wow. I would say, rest in the finished work of Christ and enjoy the now moment. Hebrews encourages us that he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Goes on to say, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So we are to rest upon the finished work of Christ. Christ has declared, tetelestai, it is finished. The Father has rested. He's calling us to rest. Not only to rest, but to enjoy the now moment. Don't lose the now moment. If you're out there and hearing me, don't get distracted by religion. Don't get distracted by self-righteousness. Don't get distracted by even with your own pain. Just rest upon the finished work and enjoy the now moment, because that is all you have.
See, I told you. This is what we got going for us, folks. If we accomplish nothing else but other than finding this treasure to add to the talent and the ability that is offered to this ministry to get the gospel out. You know, there was a time when I had a lot of money coming in, but I didn't have any of the support on staff, on board, like what I do now. And that was with people that were paid, believe me, far better. My employees used to be paid more than I get now. In fact, way more than what I get now. But this is all heart, folks. And what you just heard from Nardos is all heart. This is a true conversion. This is a Paul's testimony type conversion. And Nardos got to experience what it's like to give up his own righteousness that he may know him, know Christ, and the power of his resurrection.
It's all good news. It's all good news. I'm not, I am not, I am not, I am not a Christian. It's all good news. It's all good news. I'm not, I am not, I am not, I am not a Christian.
And so it is, family, that we must leave you. Remember, the concepts of heresy and blasphemy were invented by religion for the sole purpose of defending doctrines that could not defend themselves. In fact, doctrines that didn't have the strength to pull the skin off a rice pudding, to be honest, unless it was under threat of death. Don't forget to visit Amazon an audio copy of Touching Spirit, The Letters of Minniminiki. This is by our good friend Pep Washburn, who's, by the way, just released his second book, The Last Oak, I think it's called. And I have my copy. I got an advanced copy. I didn't get it for free. Pep's not that silly.
Pep's not that peppy.
No, but I did get it, and I'm really enjoying it. I promise if you get that book, Letters of Minniminiki, Touching Spirit, you will never regret it. Mm-hmm. If you would like to partner with us, and not just in money, on
832-318-9339.
And speak to us about how you can participate, or go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the connect link. Anything you can do to help the gospel can make all of the difference for somebody else just like you starting their own journey towards thinking for themselves. If you have any questions, feel free to record them on United States 123-456-40971. And if you're calling from overseas, proceed that number with your dial-out international code. And remember, in the words of Mike Turi, and I think you'll agree with this, having heard from our new fantastic vice president of the Gospel Revolution, as Mike Turi said, we don't give God glory, we are God's glory. And so now it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett from the GR Studios in Eva, Alabama.
And it's good night from Nardos from Calgary, Alberta. And thank you, Don, for giving me this opportunity to share what is in my heart.
And it's also good night from Mike Williams right here in South Florida, where we just came through winter. We had winter last week. Oh, my God. We had winter down to 37 degrees two nights in a row.
Dang.
Oh, the humanity.
Oh, the humanity. So you actually do have four distinct seasons.
Oh, my. So, guys, thank you so much. I'm having a blast talking to you on the phone, answering phones. I'm going to keep bugging you till you do. So, or you can bug me either way around.
Remember, between midnight and 4 a.m. And the number they can bug you on is?
832-318-9339. We love you guys. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast, but if you didn't, remember, just because you're offended does not mean you're right. So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
Always better.
When you're feeling down or you got the case of the blues. When you're feeling down or you got the case of the blues. When you're feeling down or you got the case of the blues. Why don't you listen to the Gospel Revolution?
In the beginning was the Gospel Revolution.
If the Bible is all about Jesus, don't you think that most churches would mention him with at least the same frequency as they mention all of their favorite dogmas and doctrine
and all those rules of your particular brand of religion. Tithing, moralism, Old Testament law, abortion, gays, politics, all hail the leader. Persecution, the end times, don't forget the bloody rules. God's perfect will for your life, fleeing youthful lusts. Rock music, speaking in tongues, the coming kingdom, worldliness and how to escape it. Those pesky rules, don't forget them. Heresy, prophecy, soul-winning missions, offerings, wrong doctrine, right doctrine. And don't forget all those bloody rules. Relationships, long hair, short hair, dyed hair, liberalism, greasy grace, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, dispensationalism, and rules, rules, never-ending bloody rules, and Calvinism, Arminianism, a missionary service, Sunday school, swearing and cussing, besetting sins, sexual purity, oh, and give us some more rules, won't you? False prophets, confession, dress code, mixed swimming, dancing, movies, television, dating, oh, and did I mention the freaking rules?
Gospel Revolution. Good job, Donnie.